Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Mikey, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram for Wednesday, June 5th, 2024. MOTRAN president shares I-27 updates. The corridor, which will pass through Midland, will connect four interstates, I-10, I-14, I-20, and I-27. By Ben Schaefer, staff writer. President of the Midland-Odessa Transportation Alliance, James Beecham, shared Midland County demographic data and the impact the expansion of I-27 could have on the area. During Tuesday's County Commissioners meeting, Beecham discussed the I-27 and how it connects the state. According to MOTRAN, Midland County's population has grown over the past decade from 155,990 people to about 180,000. In the same time frame, the county's labor force has grown from 95,593 to 115,600. The I-27 corridor, which will pass through Midland, will connect four total interstates, I-10, I-14, I-20, and I-27. In essence, we're connecting 85% of our state population, 90% of our workforce, and 95% of our GDP through interstate grade connections, and that's important in the long run. The economic aspect, accessing workforce, accessing marketplaces, Beecham said. These intersections could also create U.S. coast-to-coast connections through Midland-Odessa. It's really more about safety and connectivity and mobility on the primary corridors that come through Midland-Odessa, and you see that particularly with state highways, 385, 158, and 349, he said. He added that the interstate would include four-lane divided roads with frontage roads. This will allow full control of access on the interstate. Controlling access to the interstate due to the road configuration should curtail some accidents and roadway problems. Roadway details will also include higher speed limits, limited access points, larger right-of-way widths, as well as exit and entrance ramps with deceleration and acceleration lanes. When approaching interstate projects, we'll upgrade the existing SH-158 for 62.8 miles beginning at the I-20 and SH-158 interchange in Midland County to the US-87 and SH-158 interchange in Sterling County to a four-lane divided facility that meets interstate standards. TxDOT states that it is assumed that the projects would include continuous one-way frontages on both sides of the roadway along the entire length. TxDOT's SH-349 phase would upgrade existing SH-349 for 66.4 miles beginning at the intersection of US-87 and SH-349 in Dawson County to the I-20 and SH-349 interchange in Midland County to a four-lane divided facility. TxDOT should not need Midland County to match the financing for the preliminary phases of the project, according to MOTRAN. PNZ OK's preliminary plat for Preserve Zoo Midland by Mella McEwen, Oil Editor. Developers of the Preserve and Zoo Midland officially unveiled plans for the two projects, submitting a preliminary plat to the Planning and Zoning Commission. The proposed preliminary plat covers 132.075 acres, consisting of eight lots that incorporates both the preserve and its retail and restaurant sites, Zoo Midland and open space belonging to the Property Owners Association. Planning and zoning commissioners unanimously approved the proposed plat, which now heads to City Council for approval because it exceeds 25 acres. Dunaway Associates, on behalf of property owner Bootlake Ranch, requested to replat the site in preparation for a future zone change. We are excited to be moving forward, Charles Harrington, project manager at Zoo Midland, told commissioners. Releasing the proposed plat is the next step in moving forward with the zoo, he added. Commissioners also unanimously approved zone change requests by Schumann Engineering on behalf of First Baptist Church. The property at 2206 West Louisiana Avenue was changed from 01 Office District to SF2 Single Family Dwelling District. A similar request was made to rezone the church's property at 702 Kent Street from 2F, two-family dwelling duplex district, to SF2, Church officials wanted the zoning to match the rest of the church property as it prepares to replat the property into one lot. Commissioners also unanimously approved a request by Andrea Diaz for a specific use designation without term for automobile or other motorized vehicle sales and services in order to operate a used car dealership at 1300 Garden City Highway. She will use an office inside one of the two Lobo Services buildings and 18 parking spaces, 10 for customers and 8 for car sales. Proposed hours will be 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Wednesday through Saturday. A request by Moore Casey Properties LLC for a zone change from RR Regional Retail District to LI Light Industrial District. The change involved a 6.92-acre tract and an 8.70-acre tract of land at 1812 North FM 1788. The applicant plans to construct an office with a yard and garage on the site. Building Bright Futures. Midland ISD breaks ground on new elementary school. By Kesley Salinas, staff writer. Midland ISD held a groundbreaking ceremony Tuesday for its new elementary school in the Lone Star Trails area. The new elementary school is a project of the $1.4 billion bond that was approved in November 2023. It will be MISD's 40th campus. The facility will be about 92,500 square feet with a capacity of 830 students. The elementary school is expected to open in August of 2025 and will serve pre-kindergarten through 5th grade students. Park Hill, an architectural and engineering services firm, was hired as project manager for the new elementary school. The firm previously constructed the Faskin and Yarborough elementary schools after the 2012 bond program. The new elementary school will have a similar design to Faskin and Yarborough elementary schools. Stephanie Howard, MISD superintendent, said the architect consulted with principals, staff, and custodians of Faskin and Yarborough Elementary. Our architects and our team have met with those two campuses and talked about what is working well and what are some of the things we can do differently, Howard said. It'll be unique, and it'll have those features built in and adjustments made. Howard also said she was excited that Morgan Robertson, Frank's elementary principal, was at the ceremony. Robertson will help with the hiring, staffing, and leading the process of the naming committee throughout the next year. She will be the principal at the new school when it opens. This is truly going to be a facility of excellence, Howard said. I always want to thank the community that supported Bond 2023. We wouldn't be here today without that support. TxDOT starts work on Loop 250 intersection. By Trevor Halls, editorial director. Your commute on Loop 250 might be a bit different over the next few months while the Texas Department of Transportation makes improvements to a busy intersection. Work began last week on the intersection of A Street and Loop 250. Road crews will widen the south frontage road and install a concrete median to create a lane dedicated to turning north onto A Street and for using the U-turn, known as a Texas turnaround. The A Street exit in the eastbound lanes is currently closed, so those who need to access A Street will have to use the Garfield Street exit. Those who want to use the Texas turnaround from the eastbound frontage road will have to do so at the intersection with Big Spring Street. The project will take about 4 months to complete. It has an estimated cost of $1.45 million, according to TxDOT's Project Tracker website. Reese Albert is the contractor. Court urged to reverse pardon on ex-sergeant. By Jim Vertuno, Associated Press. Austin, Texas. The Texas governor's pardon of a former Army sergeant who fatally shot a Black Lives Matter demonstrator undermines the state's legal system and constitution and should be reversed, a prosecutor said Tuesday. Travis County District Attorney Jose Garza said he is filing request with the Court of Criminal Appeals, the state's highest criminal court, to review the pardon issued by Republican Governor Greg Abbott, which he said made a mockery of the legal system and put politics ahead of justice. We will continue to use the legal process to seek justice, Garza said during a news conference in Austin. Daniel Perry shot and killed Garrett Foster during a protest in downtown Austin in July 2020. Perry was convicted and sentenced to 25 years in prison in May 2023. Prompting immediate calls for a pardon from conservative figures. Abbott issued the pardon last month, and Perry was quickly released from prison. The quick pardon undermined an established appeals process that was available to Perry and violated state constitutional separation of powers, Garza said. Abbott's office did not immediately respond to messages seeking comment. All 9 elected judges on the court are Republican. Garza said he believes the case is unique in state history, from the rapid request for a pardon and its approval to his request for the appeals court to intervene. All of this is new ground, he said. Perry's legal team called the pardon and the process kickstarted by Abbott fully appropriate under the state constitution and said it was Garza, a Democrat, who was driven by politics in prosecuting the case. The governor, following the recommendation of the State Board of Pardons and Paroles, has the absolute power to pardon any person on any grounds, including the grounds of actual innocence, Perry attorney Clint Broden said. Foster's mother, Sheila Foster, described the pardon as absolutely unacceptable to our family. We will fight this until we get justice for Garrett, Foster said at the news conference, her voice trembling with emotion. My own child was killed on American soil for doing nothing but practicing his First and Second Amendment rights, and our governor just said, that's okay, that's acceptable. Perry, a white rights share driver, claimed he was trying to drive past the crowd and fired his pistol when Foster pointed a rifle at him. Witnesses say Foster, a white Air Force veteran, never raised his gun. Prosecutors argued that Perry could have driven away without shooting. Even though Perry was convicted of murder, Abbott called the shooting self-defense, noting Texas' Stand Your Ground law. Last month, 14 Democrat attorneys general said the U.S. Justice Department should investigate whether Perry denied Foster his right to free speech and peaceful protest. A federal probe could open Perry to federal charges. The DOJ has historically used federal civil rights laws to prosecute acts of hate, especially when states refuse or fail to hold people accountable for violating their fellow Americans' civil rights, the Coalition of Attorneys General said. Odessa man dies after tire blowout crash in Ward County, by B.K. Richter, online editor. Ward County. An 18-year-old man from Odessa is dead following a wreck caused by a tire blowout on Monday evening. According to the Texas Department of Public Safety, Dominique Lee Retana was traveling eastbound along Interstate 20 when his 2008 Cadillac Escalade suffered a tire blowout at around mile marker 62 at about 8.09 p.m. The tire failure caused by the Cadillac to side skid across the eastbound lanes and into a South Barrow ditch, where it then proceeded to roll across the service road. Retana was pronounced dead at Ward County Hospital by medical staff following the incident. The crash remains under investigation. Odessa fire destroys multiple RVs, vehicles, and part of office building, by B.K. Richter, online editor. Odessa. 4 recreational vehicles, 5 vehicles, and part of an office building caught fire Monday evening. Odessa Fire Rescue responded to the blaze at West Yukon Road and North Flamingo Avenue. According to a press statement from the city of Odessa, fire crews pulled a total of 5 lines to extinguish the fire. There were no injuries reported, and the Red Cross responded. Investigators have not confirmed the cause. The public is encouraged to install smoke alarms, have fire extinguishers, and to create an escape plan in case of a fire. Also, regularly check and maintain all fire safety equipment. Texas Guard troops move into new Eagle Pass base. Officials estimate facility will help states save $11.5 million a month in lodging costs. By Alejandro Serrano, Texas Tribune. Eagle Pass. Governor Greg Abbott has welcomed the first group of Texas National Guard troops to move into a new 80-acre base being built here as part of the state's $11 billion border initiative. The base, located on the southern edge of the city, has a dining hall with chef-served meals, dorms that will give each soldier a room, and a pavilion where troops can have picnics or put up a basketball hoop. 300 troops, who have been living in hotels and other temporary lodging in the region and commuting up to an hour to the border, moved in Friday morning, marching single file with their backpacks and rifles into the food hall. Officials estimate the base will help the state save $11.5 million a month in lodging costs. The state has not released the cost of building the base. This base camp is a far superior strategy that, for one, will allow the state to be able to have our troops ride on the border itself, Abbott said, speaking in front of troops, Humvees, and a helicopter. But for another, provide the type of housing and standards of living that improve the quality of life for the men and women who are wearing a uniform. Thousands of Texas Guard members have been deployed to the border since the state began Operation Lone Star in March 2021. Along with Department of Public Safety troopers, they are tasked with patrolling the border and apprehending asylum-seeking migrants, who are often charged with trespassing on private property. A 2022 investigation by the Military Times and the Texas Tribune found that 1 in 5 troops reported problems with their pay, shortages of critical equipment, and living in cramped trailers. At least 4 members died by suicide in the first few months after the mission began. A group advocating for a compassionate approach to border and environmental issues denounced the base's opening. In a statement, the Eagle Pass Border Coalition pointed to its location next to a sewage treatment plant and a concrete plant that could expose soldiers to health risks. The group also juxtaposed the state's investment in the base with the lack of state investment in nearby colonias, low-income neighborhoods that don't have basic infrastructure, like running water. This is a waste of funds. There is no significant threat, Eagle Pass native Yoselin Rioja said in a statement. Our tax dollars could be used investing in our community. 5 phases of construction remain to be completed, each one expected to take about 30 days and providing housing for 300 more troops. The base is the latest in a state buildup in Eagle Pass, which has been the center of a standoff with the federal government after the state began deploying concertina wire along the Rio Grande and seized a public park against the city's wishes. Thousands of migrants once crossed the border into the city a day, but now only a handful enter, Abbott said. The state will keep its presence at the border unless we have a president who's actually going to enforce federal immigration laws, Abbott added. The people who are in charge of bringing people across the border illegally are the drug cartels. The drug cartels haven't closed out business. They haven't gone away, Abbott said. We cannot relent in our security of the border. The Texas Tribune is a nonprofit, nonpartisan media organization that informs Texans about public policy, politics, government, and statewide issues. Biden takes executive action over border. Under new order, migrants will be immediately deported if illegal crossings exceed 2,500 a day. By James Osborne, Washington Bureau. Washington. President Joe Biden ordered officials along the U.S.-Mexico border Tuesday to begin sending the majority of migrants caught attempting to unlawfully enter the United States immediately back to their home countries. The executive order, news of which has been circulating for days, will bar those caught crossing the border illegally from claiming asylum, with exceptions for unaccompanied children and those that can make a compelling case their lives are in danger if returned to their home country, administration officials said. The move aims to stop the practice of migrants entering the United States illegally from staying while they await processing through immigration courts, overwhelming cities and detention centers in Texas and other border states. We have seen consistently over the last few years that when we have the ability to remove individuals quickly, it can significantly impact migratory flows by changing the calculus of migrants, said a senior administration official. If they know they're going to be removed quickly and are not going to be able to remain in the U.S. for many years while they go through the immigration court systems, they're much less likely to pay the thousands of dollars that is required by the smuggling networks. The new rule goes into effect when encounters with migrants crossing the border illegally exceed 2,500 people a day and will be pulled back when daily encounters fall below 1,500 people. In April, U.S. Customs and Border Protection reported almost 6,000 daily encounters along the southwest border. Right now, many immigrants will actually sit and wait for Border Patrol agents to arrest them, hoping to be issued an immigration court date that will allow them to stay in the United States while they wait, said Colleen Putzel-Kavanaugh, an analyst with the Migration Policy Institute. But under Tuesday's executive order, that pathway into the United States will be shut down for the time being. With this sort of trigger, the pattern of people waiting to be apprehended could change, she said. Word of mouth is a force multiplier. The problem is some information the migrants get is incorrect. So if policy shifts at the border, there's always moments of confusion. Still, it's unclear how quickly the Department of Homeland Security will be able to return migrants to their home countries. Right now, Mexico will only accept non-Mexican nationals from Cuba, Venezuela, Nicaragua, and Haiti. And while the U.S. has deals with countries including China and India to send people from those countries back home, they are limited in how many people can fit onto the dozens of removal flights Homeland Security operates each week. Without a major new deal with Mexico, any impact of a border shutdown would be heavily, heavily muted. Aaron Reichlin Melnick, policy director at the American Immigration Council, wrote on X, formerly known as Twitter. Even if DHS could now generate thousands of removal orders a day, it wouldn't be able to execute them all. Biden's executive order Tuesday comes weeks after efforts to pass a bipartisan border security bill failed in the Senate. That bill would have provided funding for the hiring of thousands more Border Patrol officers and immigration judges, along with the purchase of new drug detection technology and equipment. But former President Donald Trump opposed the bill, saying it did not go far enough and the government should close the border altogether. Only a fool or a radical left Democrat would vote for this horrendous border bill, he said. Texas business leaders, in particular from farms and tech companies, have urged Republicans and Democrats alike sides to come together on border security and expanding legal immigration pathways for temporary workers, who they say are badly needed at a time of historically low unemployment. 5 months ahead of the presidential election, Biden is seeking to bolster his reputation on border security, an area on which he is under constant attack from Republicans. In a speech Tuesday in which he was joined by Representatives Mark Vesey, Democrat from Fort Worth, and Vicente Gonzalez, Democrat from McAllen, along with numerous mayors from South Texas, Biden said his executive order was in response to Republicans' refusal to pass the border security bill. Donald Trump told Republicans he didn't want to fix the issue but wanted to use it to attack me, the president said. It was an extremely cynical political move and a complete disservice to the American people who are looking to us not to weaponize the border but to fix it. Donald Trump begged them to vote no because he was worried that more border enforcement would hurt him politically, Senior Deputy Press Secretary Andrew Bates said in a memo Tuesday. Republicans chose Donald Trump and fentanyl traffickers over the Border Patrol and the American people. To Joe Biden, the safety of American families should always come first. Biden's harder line stance on immigration is already putting him at odds with many on the left, including Representative Joaquin Castro, Democrat of San Antonio, who warned the executive order could allow future administrations to choke off immigration and the right to asylum. The American Civil Liberties Union, an advocacy group, said Tuesday it planned to challenge the executive order in court, saying it would rush vulnerable people through already fast-tracked deportation proceedings. We need solutions to address the challenges at the border, but the administration's planned executive actions will put thousands of lives at risk. Their Judge Schiffling, chief political officer at the ACLU, said in a statement. Life tributes or obituaries. Nathan Flores, August 18, 1998 to June 2, 2024. Nathan Flores, 25 of Greenwood, passed away on June 2, 2024. A visitation will take place from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. on Wednesday, June 5, 2024, at Nally Pickle and Welsh Funeral Home and Crematory. A celebration of life will take place on Thursday, June 6, 2024, at 10 a.m. at Elevate Church in Midland. The family would like to express their gratitude towards our friends and family who loved our Nathan. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welsh Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelsh.com. Peggy Jo Taylor, June 19, 1932 to May 31, 2024. Peggy Jo Taylor, beloved mom, sister, grandmother, aunt, cousin, and friend, went to be with her Lord and Savior Jesus Christ Friday, May 31, 2024. Peggy Taylor was born on June 19, 1932 and Donnie, Texas, to Elmer and Beatrice Loomis. Funeral service will be held at 1 p.m., Friday, June 7th, 2024, at Natalie Pickle and Welsh Funeral Home Chapel. Interment will follow at Fairview Cemetery. The family would like to express their gratitude to her caregivers, Dr. Premila Johnson, her visiting nurse, Helen Larson, and caregiver, Ariel Pantoja. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations can be made to St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital. Arrangements are under the direction of Natalie Pickle and Welsh Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelsh.com. Deborah Morton, July 9, 1957 to May 29, 2024. Deborah Morton, 66, of Big Spring, Texas, passed away on Wednesday, May 29, 2024, surrounded by her family. A visitation will be held from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. Thursday, June 6, 2024, at Natalie Pickle and Welsh Funeral Home Chapel, Midland, Texas. Graveside services will follow at 3 p.m. Thursday, June 6, 2024, at Rest Haven Memorial Park, Midland, Texas. If you would like, please send flowers to the funeral home at 3800 North Big Spring Street in Midland. Arrangements are under the direction of Natalie Pickle and Welsh Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelsh.com. Richard Jackson. Richard Jackson, 86, of Midland, passed away June 2, 2024. Memorial service is pending with Natalie Pickle and Welsh Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Sherry Ann Nicholson. Sherry Ann Nicholson, age 73, of Midland, Texas, passed away on Sunday, June 2, 2024. The family will receive friends for visitation on Wednesday, June 5, 2024, from 5 to 7 p.m. at Ellis Funeral Home, 4616 North Big Spring Street. Funeral service will be held Thursday, June 6, 2024, at 10 a.m. at Ellis Funeral Home, followed by interment at Rest Haven Memorial Park, 4616 North Big Spring Street. Please visit ellisfunerals.com to leave online condolences.
This is Reed, and this is the Midland Reporter Telegram, Health and Wellness, for Wednesday, June 5th, 2024. Men's Health Month, 6 steps to follow for a healthier lifestyle. June is Men's Health Month, a time for raising awareness about the health challenges men face and encouraging them to take proactive steps towards a healthier lifestyle. Originally established to address the disparity in health outcomes between men and women, this annual observance aims to promote wellness, encourage early detection of diseases, and highlight the importance of a balanced, healthy lifestyle for men of all ages. Although more males are born every year, by age 35, women outnumber men. This discrepancy widens as we age, with around 65% of those over age 80 being female. The science behind this chasm is clear. Men don't take care of themselves as well as women do. A recent survey showed 60% of male respondents did not get regular health checkups and would only see a doctor if something was, quote, seriously wrong, end quote. Women, on the other hand, are twice as likely to get preventative health care. There are many reasons why men refuse to get regular checkups, but primarily it's a perceived lack of time or interest. It's just not a priority to most men. This apathy leads to missed opportunities for early detection and treatment for a range of conditions. Key health concerns for men. Several health issues predominantly affect men or are more severe in men. Below are some of the most common. Heart disease. The leading cause of death among men and women is heart disease. Heart disease can mostly be prevented with healthy lifestyle changes, although some genetic factors do exist. A diet low in saturated fats and high in fruits, vegetables, and whole grains, along with regular physical activity, maintaining a healthy weight, and avoiding tobacco use are critical to reducing your risk. Cancer. Prostate and colorectal cancers are among the most common cancers affecting men. Early detection through screening, such as PSA tests for prostate cancer and colonoscopies for colorectal cancer, can save lives. Men over age 45 or with family history should be getting regular screenings. Mental health. Depression and anxiety in men is often overlooked because of stigma. It's important for men to recognize the signs of mental health issues and seek help. Open conversations with healthcare providers, counseling, and support groups can provide much-needed assistance. Diabetes. This condition can lead to severe complications if not managed properly. Men should monitor their blood sugar levels, maintain a healthy weight, and engage in regular physical activity. A balanced diet low in sugar and refined carbs is also crucial. Tips for a healthier lifestyle. Eating healthy. Your eating habits significantly impact your physical and mental health. You can start improving your diet immediately with small steps, such as adding more fruits and vegetables daily and avoiding highly processed, salty/sugary foods. You can also begin by moderating your alcohol and caffeine consumption and getting proper nutrients from a more diverse menu of healthy foods and supplements. Start with just one healthy item swap of your normal meal and progress from there. Get moving. Just 30 minutes per day of physical activity has been shown to improve immunity, heart health, productivity, memory, confidence, and energy. Similarly, exercise reduces weight, depression, and anxiety, and chances of chronic health conditions. This does not need to be high-intensity workout, and a gym is not required. Just do enough to get the heart rate up and breathing a bit faster. Find something you like to do and experiment with different activities. Preventive maintenance. Regular screenings and health checkups can catch minor problems before they become much more significant problems, especially for men over 40. Blood pressure, cholesterol, and blood glucose levels are some initial recommendations, especially if there is a family history of heart disease, cancer, or diabetes. Rest and recovery. Getting enough sleep, 7 to 9 hours for adults, is essential for optimal health and wellness. Sleep patterns have direct links to cognitive function, mood, energy, and physical health. Setting a routine sleep and wake time or avoiding screen time in bed are great first steps. Mental health. Mental wellness is as important as physical health. Men struggle with admitting they need help because of pressure to be, quote, tough, end quote, and, quote, push through, end quote. Men are 4 times as likely to die by suicide and 2 to 3 times more likely to misuse drugs and alcohol than women. Practices like mindfulness, meditation, and spending time with loved ones can enhance mental well-being. Find a mental health professional to discuss how to manage your emotions. Avoid risky behaviors. Men partake in more risky behaviors that can result in short and long-term consequences. Simple steps like limiting alcohol intake, avoiding tobacco/vaping, wearing seatbelts, and not engaging in risky behaviors can help you live a longer life. Men's Health Month is an opportunity to focus on common health problems facing men and promoting proactive steps to lead healthier, happier lives. This June, let's encourage all men to prioritize their health and make positive changes that will benefit them for years to come. For more information and resources on Men's Health Month, visit Men's Health Network. You can also visit MidlandHealth.org to find a physician for your primary health care and screening needs.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.